It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
The art of pruning and training trees and shrubs into shapes is probably what most people think of when defining garden art. Topiary, or plant sculpting, has been around since Roman times, and its popularity has waxed and waned through the ages. Traditionally used to produce geometric shapes in formal gardens, it's been developed to include animals, furniture, and giant chess pieces, all fashioned from greenery that's clipped and trained into fantastic shapes. In the 1700s, a move by English gardeners away from the crisp formal garden design that incorporated topiary and toward a natural landscape caused the art form to fall from favor. But it's always been a part of many historic gardens in Europe and is displayed in some gardens in the American South, probably because it came into vogue in antebellum days when slave labor allowed for the time-consuming tasks of keeping a formal garden shipshape and presentable. Two fairly recent events have put topiary back in the public eye. In the satirical movie Edward Scissorhands, the doleful protagonist exhibited incredible artistic skills in sculpting greenery. Watching him create a full-size T-Rex from a neighbor's hedgerow was, dare I say, sheer delight. And then there is Jeff Koons, an artist known for his sculptures that push the envelope of materials and construction. I had occasion to see one of his better-known pieces in New York a few years ago when I happened upon his work entitled Puppy, displayed in the Rockefeller Center Plaza. Purists would probably fault me for including this in a discussion of topiary, as it is really groupings of flowers rather than cutting and trimming that form the puppy's shape. But it's such an amazing sight that I had to tell you about it. This floral Fido rises 43 feet in the air from paws to ear tips and is made from over 70,000 live plants. What has to be the world's largest flower pot is made of fiberglass and steel and holds over 25 tons of soil and is watered by an internal irrigation system. The begonias, impatiens, petunias, and marigolds that make up the canine creation are in full bloom, giving him a wildly colorful coat. First created in 1992 for a temporary exhibit in Germany, the dashing dog has become a world traveler, being resurrected in major cities around the world when not inhabiting his permanent collection doghouse at the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, Spain. A few Christmases ago, I decided to try my hand at topiary on a smaller scale when, after years of sporadic flickering, a decorative reindeer in our yard decided to give it up permanently. I rescued him from a burial at the county dump, stripped off the worn-out wires, and gave him a new home in our orchard. In the spring, I planted two clematis vines at front and back hooves, and lo and behold, we now have a topiary of sorts. I know I should have chosen a plant that would be better suited to topiary clipping and trimming, something with small leaves and a thick growth pattern. Boxwood, yew, euonymus, or cotone aster are recommended by the experts. Ivy is good for working around a simple frame and would certainly be denser and more likely to take the reindeer shape. But I figure what the deer gives up in close construction, it makes up for in the intense color of the clematis blooms. Only my free time and trimming abilities can tell if I wind up with a colorful deer remotely reminiscent of Koons's puppy, or a big viney mound of greenery and flowers. But either way, it's something else for those driving by my garden to shake their heads and wonder about, and hopefully they'll travel a little further down life's country road with a smile.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.